Today I want to tell a story, the story of Bethel. Our church is named Bethel Christian Fellowship, and I thought it might be wise for us just to take a moment and talk about that name. In Genesis chapter 28, I'm just going to read for you here a text, very important text of Scripture. Genesis 28:10, it says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran." Verse 11 says, "He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." Verse 12 says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land." Listen to this. "For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." God today is saying to you, I will not leave you until I've done everything I've spoken to you. Verse 16 says, "And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And you may be able to say that by the end of today. Surely the Lord was in this little hotel ballroom, and I didn't even realize it. Verse 17, "And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place, or how awesome, how overwhelming. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that place was originally Luz. And Jacob vowed a vow unto God." Loved one, it says Jacob happened. Have you ever just... Jacob's story is very much like my story. Jacob was a very conniving, manipulative person. Jacob had a father who was now blind, about dead. His name was Isaac. He had a twin brother named Esau. And God had said Jacob would inherit the first blessing, but Jacob would not let God do it on his terms. Have you ever just been tempted to try to manage your life and manipulate and do whatever it is that you can do in your own strength in order to get your way? Well, that's the way Jacob was. He was born and his name means the heel catcher, because he came out of the womb and he was grabbing at Esau's ankle. And Jacob wound up being a really nasty guy. So when we find him in our story here, where the name Bethel appears, he is running from his brother who's trying to kill him. Ever had anybody after you? And you deserve to die. He has manipulated his father that he's now had to leave. He's manipulated his mother. Mom's helped him steal the firstborn blessing from Esau. Esau is now mad, and Esau is after Jacob to kill him. And Jacob is on a 500-mile journey. He's going to a place 500 miles away, and he's about 70 miles into this running away. Have you ever run away from somebody? I call it the slinky dog principle. You do something, and the slinky dog butt is coming at you. It's going to get you. You just got to keep moving, because if you ever step down for 1 minute and sit down, whoom, all of your past is going to catch up. Well, Jacob is running from having deceived his father, and his brother hates him, and he's just running in his own brokenness, and he's not seeking God at all. Did you know God is the one who seeks us out? We never seek after him. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid and I hid myself. Even God pursued Adam. He never pursued the Lord. And Jacob is running, and it just says he just so happened upon a spot. You know, there's no such thing as chance in the kingdom of God. There's no such thing as chance. You're here because God sovereignly directed your steps to be here. There's no roll of the dice It says it just so happened. The sun is going down 70 miles into this journey. Jacob is a harried man. This guy's exhausted. And he finally lays down, but you know it was not a restful night. His pillow is a stone. And you can see, when it gets dark where Jacob was, it's nasty. I've been in Israel when the sun goes down. There's no light. Every rustling you hear around the corner brings terror. You imagine Jacob, he's laying down. Everything he hears, oh, there is Esau. Maybe he's coming at me with a knife. You know, when you have a guilty conscience, someone was talking about the devil the other day. I said, I don't need a devil after me. Just leave me alone with my own thoughts. That's enough. Jacob and his guilt is like, he's like scurrying around, thinking he's hearing a lion's going to eat him. Remember when you were on your first airplane flight ever go somewhere for the first time by yourself when you were little, or you walked in the woods when the sun went down? It's pretty scary. Well, Jacob, our hero, is not seeking God at all. He's just terrified. And then he goes to sleep. You're never more vulnerable than when you're sleeping. Think about it. What is that, 310 to Yuma movie? They all got Russell Crowe up against a wall, but you know, he said, you got to go to sleep sometime. You can even have a gun at your enemies, but you got to go to sleep sometime. Then you're utterly vulnerable. So Jacob is laying there scared. He's running from a past he's created, and he deserves judgment, by the way. Did you know, because of God's grace, we don't always get what we deserve. Isn't that a good thing? Jacob has no thought of seeking God, but he falls asleep. And then there's a beautiful, beautiful image. Think of it in your mind. He's sleeping, and he sees a ladder coming down. Now, not just the ladder that you know. What do we need ladders for? When we can't reach high enough for something, when something's out of our reach, what do you need? Give me that ladder. Bring it over here. I remember we were doing the Christmas tree for the house, and before he did our services there, and Maudette always has to have a ladder brought out because she can't get up to the top of that tree. Jacob is laying, and he sees the beautiful imagery of a ladder. Now, it's not the kind of ladder that you're thinking of. Think of a stairway or a staircase. Better yet, think of it when you're at the mall and you see the two escalators, one going up, one going down. That's what he sees. We don't know exactly. It could be like a ziggurat. It could be like those old pyramid kind of buildings that were made of steps that you would step. But the bottom line is he sees a stairway and there are angels going up and down. It's a center of activity. Now, this sounds pretty weird, but I'm going to explain this to you in a minute. It's very significant because the name Bethel is associated with amazing activity from the heavenlies. A place, Jacob gets up and says, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. It is the very gate of heaven. It is the very house of God. And you see that imagery of a staircase. Well, Jacob's laying on the ground. He has no friends. He seems to be in want of a future. He is scared to death of his brother. Did you know sometimes in your life you may be as lonely as you've ever been and think that God is nowhere near you, but heaven itself in all of its activity is involved with you. You don't even know it. You don't even know how many times an angel keeps you from death. You don't even know how many times God on a daily basis has to make sure you don't just drop dead. Whatever you're engaged in, whatever addiction you're involved in, whatever it is, Jacob saw nothing but destruction around him and hopelessness as he looked at his future. But God, the whole time, had all of this heavenly activity unseen by Jacob. And we'll see the significance of that ladder, or you could call it a stairway. Remember, the stairway to heaven. There's a stairway. That's what this is. And he's looking and he's going, what does this mean? Angels ascending and descending, God himself at the top, who reconfirms his covenant to Jacob and says, Jacob, that the land you're laying on, I'm going to give to you and your seed. And your seed, remember God said to Abraham, your seed will be as multiple as what? The stars of the heaven, the sands of the sea. Here's a new image, the dust of the earth. How many particles of dust have you walked around just today? How many particles of dust? Well, you could never know. But God says, yeah, but that's how infinitesimal. That's how majestic my thoughts are towards you. You can't count the stars. You can't number the sand. You even wherever you walk, look at the dust on your feet. From now on, if you're depressed and looking down at the ground, I want you to realize every particle of dust should remind you that that's how many beautiful thoughts God has towards you. The dust. If you're by the ocean, look at the grains of sand. Can you count them? No. That's how many thoughts God has of great love for you. If you fall down and all you can do is look up and see the stars, God says, try to count those billions and trillions of galaxies. Can't do it, can you? Yeah, that's how many thoughts of love and grace. You're surrounded, loved one, by evidences of his love everywhere. Jacob was too, but he just didn't see it. He just didn't see it. From now on, I hope the stars and the grains of sand and the dust, the earth, will mean something to you they've never met before. God loves you. He's surrounding you all the time with evidences of it. The Bible is the book of God, but nature is also the book of God. The book of nature and the book of Revelation join together to testify how surrounded you are with love. Jacob didn't feel it until God gave him a dream. Did you know sometimes God just waits till we're so vulnerable and we just can't even protect ourselves? And then when we're most vulnerable, he'll give you a dream. He'll give you a vision. What is the ladder? What is Jacob's ladder? Well, it's an intro. It was a Tim Robbins movie a few decades ago. But I want to talk just for a minute about the significance of this ladder that Jacob saw. And I'm going to go to John chapter 1 and read you a few texts here, because I want you to see what Jacob saw. He saw a ladder, one part on the earth, one part going into heaven, bringing the two realms together. The ladder brought heaven and earth together. The ladder reaches where you can't reach. It goes higher than you can go. Did you know that God loves you so much? He wants to link heaven and earth together. And the ladder was that stairway that brought heaven and where God was down to earth where fallen Jacob was. And did you know that the ladder represents a mediating place where heaven and earth can belong together, where God and man can commune together? Jacob is laying on the ground seeing a type of the Messiah. The ladder is a mediatorial bridge that spans an infinite gulf. Did you know between a finite creature like me and an infinite God, there's an infinite gulf, a distance? It's like you standing and looking forever across, and I can't build a fence, even an Indiana Jones kind of fence that will span this gulf. But good news, God says, I will build a ladder, a stairway to unite heaven and earth. Isn't it funny? Jacob, who wasn't thinking about God at all, now he can only and always think of God every moment of his life. Because only God can bring heaven and earth together. And that's what this ladder represented. Well, I wonder if you remember anyone in the New Testament who is the mediator that brings God and man together, allowing access between heaven and earth and God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know? Let me just read a little bit of the text from Gospel of John. John the Baptist has just declared that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in John 1:44, right after his baptism, right after the heavens open and he is declared the Son of God, the Beloved of the Lord, the Scripture says that the following day, Jesus went forth to Galilee and finds Philip and says, "Follow me." And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, from now on, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Loved one, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, he is the sacrifice, the Lamb who gives his life so heaven and earth can be joined together and you can span the gulf and go and be with the Father." And Jesus sees Nathanael and he says to this wonderful young man, this winsome, smart, bright. I taught a few weeks ago on the Nathanael generation. I believe the next group God's going to use are like Nathanael. They're smart, they're charming, they're funny, they're winsome. And Jesus sees him and loves him. Ever just seen someone and you love them just like that? You just see them and you love them? Nathanael, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob at all." That's what he said. He didn't say he was a perfect man. He said he was winsome, childlike, and he was pure-hearted. Did you know God wants your heart? That's all he really wants. Because when he's got your heart, he's got you. So he says to Nathanael, "Nathanael, you believe that I'm the Messiah because I gave you a word of knowledge. I just simply told you." You know, most scholars agree that he was under the fig tree, a very reflective, studious man, studying Genesis 28. What did the ladder mean? And Jesus walks up and says, "Honey, I'm the ladder. I'm the mediator between God and man. I'm the one. Look at it. The ladder was fitly on the ground. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, assumed humanity. He struck a tent in human flesh. He's the stairway in human flesh." Jesus says, "Nathanael, from now on, you're going to see what Jacob saw at Bethel," the very meaning of the word. Jesus says to him in short, "I am the house of God. I am Bethel. I am the stairway. I am the ladder. I am the mediator between God and man. Through me, you can approach heaven itself." And he said to Nathanael, a word I want to speak over to every one of you, because this is the prophetic edge to the word that I was given to say. Nathanael received one word of knowledge that he had been under the tree. You know, God knows everything about us. But Nathanael's heart was so sensitive that when he heard Jesus say, "I saw you earlier when you were studying," he said, "You will see greater things from now on." Listen. Here's the little prophetic part. "From now on, hereafter, from now on, you're going to see," this is what he said to Nathanael, "you're going to literally see an open heaven." He said, "You're going to see around me," Jesus said, "I'm the ladder, I'm the stairway. You're going to see angels ascending and descending. You are going to see such a populated expression of the power of God." Some of you may feel you've never seen God do anything. Well, cheer up. We're moving into a season in the life of this church, in our own personal lives, where we are going to begin to see angels ascending and descending. Did you know this whole imagery of angels? What are they for? Well, they're servants of God sent forth to do God's will. Whenever you see, it's my personal opinion, whenever you see a miracle done in the Bible, I believe there's an angel around it or behind it or involved in it. Because Jesus said to Nathanael, "Your life's been one way, honey, up until now. But from this point on, you're going to see such heavenly activity, it's going to blow your mind." And the next thing, what does Jesus do? The next thing he does, he goes to Cana, Nathanael's hometown. He goes to Cana, and he does his first miracle, which was turning water into wine. Jesus said, "Do you know, I'm the Son of Man, and there are angels all around me. There's heavenly activity all around me." And then he goes to Cana and he begins a string and a series of miracles that are so profound and so amazing. You know, the heavens opened at the baptism of Jesus. That was a vertical heavenly opening. But Jesus said to Nathanael, "Now you're going to see a portable stairway. Wherever I walk, you're going to see angels ascending, descending, miracles, deliverances, power of darkness is going to be destroyed." You know, God wants to make us little temples of God running around, little synagogues walking around. He wants to turn us into stairways and ladders where wherever we are, that's Bethel, the house of God. Wherever we are, it's the very gate of heaven. Did you know how important you are? I mentioned earlier, we're all famous intensively. not extensively. Maybe no one will ever know your name as a famous writer, or you may not have that kind of influence, but loved one, you are intensively famous where you are, and you can be a very stairway, a ladder, like Jacob saw, where God's kingdom and the population of his angels are just swarming all over the place. Did you know one word can save somebody's life? Did you know when you're going through that drive-thru and you just smile at somebody, sometimes that smile will turn someone around? Let alone you realizing that God is creating you to be a ladder, a mediatorial individual, so significant. Have you ever just been doing life and all of a sudden a divine appointment happens, you start talking about things that matter. I walked into a store not too long ago. Loved one, never underestimate what's going on in somebody's life sitting next to you. I went into a Vons and saw a dear woman whose boy just died. He was 27 years old, but her son was killed in an accident. And I'm just shopping, you know. Sometimes God, he wants us to get out of the house sometimes because he wants us to cross-pollinate with other people. And I saw this woman, of course, grief beyond anything we could imagine. And by the grace of God, I was able to stand with her. You know, sometimes you don't have to know the perfect thing to say. Sometimes you just listen. And there was just a sacred moment there in Vaughn's where everyone walked around us, but God made that a little ladder between heaven and earth. And I was able to encourage her, and I spoke some words of love, and I just hugged her, and I held on to her for a while. Sometimes you just need to listen. You don't have to know what to say. But you know, for a moment there, that was Bethel. It was the house of God. It was the gate of heaven. It was a ladder, a stairway, with all kinds of heavenly stuff going on. And I just stood there about 10 minutes, but I pushed my cart away and forgot what I went to buy. When I even get here, I had to go back home, get a list again and go back. Did you know God's waiting to hallow our normal moments, our 9-to-5 moments where we become that ladder, that stairway that unites heaven and earth for just a moment? Don't underestimate the authority of your words to encourage people. See, you're either giving to people or taking away from them in every encounter. You're building them up or you're tearing them down. You're part of the solution or you're part of the problem. So I would encourage you, loved one, God is going to begin to do some amazing things around your life. It's sort of going to be like you and Jacob. All of a sudden, that ladder is going to come down, the Lord himself. And you're going to become a little portable blessing, a stairway wherever you go to bring about the flow of God's Spirit and the blessing of his presence. Bethel means house of God. Do you know when we founded this house, the name is precious to me because I want to be a safe person. I want to be a ladder, a stairway through which God does gracious things. I want our church to be a place where the ladder of God is here and the angels are ascending and descending. It becomes literally the center of God doing populous works, amazing works to heal, cleanse, and restore. You can be a portable little ladder wherever you go. But I do say, I want to remind you as I close, the first verse, God said, I'm never going to leave you until I fulfill the word and promise I gave to you. Listen to me. He will never leave you or forsake you. Others have. Others will. He'll never leave you. He's going to make sure you fulfill your destiny. And the second thing he said to Nathaniel, things have been one way, but from now on, you are going to see the heavens opened. And you're going to see an amazing, amazing activity between heaven and earth. Father, we thank you that you left the 99 to seek after each of us, the one sheep. Let's just close our eyes right now where you are. Just close your eyes. Father, I thank you for the Nathaniels in this room. I thank you for the hearts that are winsome and wise and smart and charming who love you. And Lord, I thank you that you are going to allow us now to see, almost like we become each of us portable ladders, portable stairways, where wherever we go, that interaction between heaven and earth is going to mark this one and that one. And thank you, Lord, each of us, though maybe not extensively famous, will realize our intensive fame and take every trip to the gas station, take every walk in the store as an opportunity for you to be working in and through us, like walking on a stairway, Lord. Bring down from heaven blessings through us to others. We ask, Lord, that you would dignify us to use us as vessels with the right word at the right time, with a hug at the right time, with a word of positive encouragement at the right time. We want to be mobile ladders, Lord. Everywhere we go, people will say, I don't know what it is about him, but I just like him. I don't know what it is about her, but I just love being around her. Father, make us people who give, not take, in our encounters. Those that build up and don't tear down in our encounters. Those that are part of the solution, not a part of the problem in our encounters. Bethel, Lord, let us be a living, moving, breathing example of the house of God, the gate of heaven, the stairway. Oh, we're hungry to see beautiful miracles and signs. Let revival begin, and let it begin with me right now as I just trace a circle around my own feet right now. Let revival begin, Lord, and let it begin with me right here, right now. Loved one, just imagine the seat you're sitting in. You say, God, start with me. Let revival begin. Let the staircase, let me be for the rest of my life someone who is giving life to others, a ladder uniting earth and heaven. Just imagine a circle around your chair. You say, Lord, use me. Let it begin with me. Doesn't matter if everybody else lives right, you can live right. It doesn't matter what everybody else says, you can do the right thing, the next right thing. Others may, you may not. There's some things that God says, no, that's that others do things that not for you. Imagine a circle drawn around you, a circle of love and kindness and warmth and light. And you say, God, I from this moment on, I want to be encircled with your love and grace and help others in Jesus' name. Now, if you've never said, Craig, I don't know. I don't, what does all this mean? Well, it's very simple. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock on the door of your heart. If you hear, you open the door from the inside, I will come in and have fellowship with you and you with me. What a beautiful and easy thing to do. The doorknob's on the inside of your heart. He'll never break the door down. He's a gentleman. He knocks gently. So we have the authority today to turn that doorknob inside of our hearts and open our heart and say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. I surrender to you. It's that simple, but it's that beautiful. God bless you. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Hear your heartbeat. Yeah. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. Heal your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I could stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. Lord, thank you for your love today. Thank you for your forgiveness today. Thank you for your cleansing today. Thank you that even whatever we're running from, wherever we go, there you are. David said, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the east and fly to the uttermost sides of the morning, even there you are there. We bless you. Thank you for seeking us and finding us. Now, Lord Jesus, please make us stairways to heaven that others may find you and know you. You just need to do you, honey. You just need to be yourself, and he'll use you as an intensively famous instrument of grace in your world. And we bless him, and we give him praise. Amen. Can you say amen?